Good morning again. It's a pleasure to be back. I printed out the sermon on some sheets of paper, so if it would help you to follow along, you should be able to find a copy of that outside. Thank you for reading the Bible passage from Colossians 9 to 14 is what we'll be looking at closely. So if you'd like to keep a Bible open, that might help you as well to follow along. Let me pray, and then we'll look at God's word. Our gracious God, we praise you and thank you that you have given us your word. You've given us the instruction manual for life, for salvation. We praise you that you're a God who seeks to know us personally, and we thank you that you have. You've made yourself known. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You sent your Son to show us your love and to die in our place. So Lord, help us now to grow in our understanding of who you are, our understanding of how we should live in a way that pleases you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here last week, you might have heard that I'm studying at the Presbyterian Theological College. And actually, Andrea, myself and the kids, we live at the college on site. There's a block of units. We live in one of them. And there's a garden bed out the front of where we live. And one of our neighbors, who is also a student at the college, she planted some daffodil bulbs along the garden bed. And as you can imagine, the bulbs sprout and the stems start growing up. But there weren't any flowers yet on top of the plants. Now, Andrea often takes the children outside to play in the garden. And Micah, who's 2 years old, although he'll be three in a few months, he often likes to ask lots of questions. And he'd see the plants and he'd say, "What are these plants doing, Mummy? What are they there for?" And Andrea would say, "Well, the plants are growing and eventually they'll grow and there'll be a beautiful flower on top." And Micah would say, "Where's the flower, Mummy?" And Andrea would say, "Well, it's not there yet. Sometimes we have to wait before the flower comes. It has to keep growing." And Micah says, "Why is it growing, Mummy?" And of course, these questions go on endlessly. But one day, the first daffodil bloomed with this beautiful flower on top. It was just a few weeks ago. And Micah and Maggie, they saw it. They were so excited. They went running up to see this beautiful daffodil. And Micah went straight up and pulled it off the stem. So we're back to zero daffodil flowers now. Andrea tried to stop, but it was too late. It's okay. But the kids, they were so overjoyed to see that this growth had come into fullness, that the flower had bloomed. And it's a wonderful thing when you get to see the beauty of growth. And the growth of a plant, it can be likened to being a Christian. As we grow, and we become closer and closer to what we're meant to be. Spiritual people who serve God. And just like a plant needs the right ingredients to grow, it needs sunshine and soil and water. In the same way, Christians, we need the right ingredients to grow. But God's given us those things. He's given us his word, his instruction manual. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And that's what we looked at last week. If you were here in verses 1 to 8, we saw how we can live truly spiritual lives because God has given us his word and his spirit. And in these verses, from 9 onwards, Paul now begins to pray for the Colossians, that what they have, their Christian lives, they would be growing, growing into full spiritual beauty, that they would bloom like a flower on a plant. So the way we'll look at this passage this morning is in three parts. Firstly, we'll look at the core of Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. We'll see what he prays and how he prays. Secondly, we'll get into the details of what spiritual growth looks like as Paul gives us an in-depth description. And finally, we'll end with a wonderful comfort from Paul for us to keep in mind as we think about our spiritual growth. So number one, Paul prays this prayer for spiritual growth. So let's read from verse 9 again. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So the first thing to notice is the way Paul prays, how he prays. So in verse 9, it's since the day he heard about the Colossians. And he hasn't stopped praying, and he continually prays. He starts praying straight away when he hears the prayer request. He keeps praying regularly, whether that's daily, and he doesn't stop praying for them. He keeps going. We actually have a lovely Christian lady who's our friend, and she prays like this. She prays over and over again every night for the same things. And she really doesn't limit God to the prayers that she asks. Every night, she prays for every religion in the world that she can think of, lists them one by one, and then she prays that all of those people in those religions would turn to God and would become Christians. Then she moves on and she starts listing all of the worst criminals that she can think of by name. She prays for all of them, that they would all repent and turn to trust in Jesus for forgiveness. She prays and prays every night. But she told me once that when she was a lot younger, she heard a pastor tell her, he was speaking on prayer, and he said, you should only ask for something once when you pray to God, because after that, you're kind of nagging God. And you're being a bit stubborn. If God's not answering your prayer, stop asking. Well, fortunately, my friend, she did not take that advice. And she kept bothering God with her prayers, however you want to see it. But this is how Paul prays. Continually asking God for his prayer points. Start immediately, pray continually, and don't stop until God answers. So what exactly does Paul pray for then? Well, it says the first thing he prays is that God would fill the Colossians with the knowledge of his will. Now, the key word here is the word fill. I pray that God would fill you. He doesn't say, I pray God would give you knowledge for the first time. If you were here last week, we saw that God has already given the Colossians knowledge. That was back in verse 6. They heard God's word the first time. They understood God's grace and truth. They have the knowledge. So Paul prays now that knowledge would increase, that they would be filled, that they'd grow in wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he prays for growth in knowledge and understanding, and then he prays that as this happens, as you grow in knowledge, also the way that you live will grow, the way that you please God. And again, he doesn't pray that they would start pleasing God, that they would begin. We know that they've already been pleasing God. That was back in verses 4 and 5. They're marked by all these wonderful Christian traits. So this time when Paul prays for their Christian living, the key word is every in verse 10. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Not just some ways, but in every way. So you might begin to see the theme of this prayer. It's a theme of fullness or completion, growing till spiritual fullness, like a plant that blooms with the flower at the top. We see this theme running throughout the whole prayer. If you just run your eyes over verses 9 to 11, you'll see many fullness words. So there's bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, for great endurance and patience. So Paul, he doesn't pray small, limited prayers. He prays continually. He prays big prayers. He prays for maximum growth, that the Colossians would bloom spiritually. Is this a bit much that Paul's asking? Are we really allowed to ask God for such great big prayers? Well, in fact, this is the kind of prayer God loves. Earlier, we read from Luke chapter 11, where Jesus teaches on prayer to his disciples. And at the end of the lesson, he says to them, "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, well, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God wants to give us more of his Spirit if only we would ask, if only we would pray. He loves to nurture us, to feed us so that we'd grow spiritually. Paul knows this, and that's what he prays for. He prays the plant would blossom into all spiritual beauty. So is it your regular prayer that you would be growing spiritually in your understanding of God's word, in your Christian life, in the things that you do? This is a prayer God will answer. He loves this kind of prayer for spiritual growth. So Paul prays for spiritual growth. Secondly, he goes into detail about what spiritual growth can look like in your life. So let's read verses 10 to 12. "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have a great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." There's three observations I want to make about Paul's description of spiritual growth. Three things which I hope can enhance your own prayer for spiritual growth. So the first observation is that spiritual growth is holistic. Personal growth, it's about your whole self. Your whole being grows spiritually. Sometimes it's easy to fall into a trap of thinking that what God really wants is for my actions to be pleasing him. As long as the things I do are following God's instructions, then everything's fine. But God doesn't just want to transform our actions. He wants to transform our minds and our hearts as well. Living a life worthy of the Lord, it's about what you do, but it's also about what you know and how you think, what you believe about God and the world. And it's about your desires. It's about what matters to you, what you care about, how you feel. So one helpful way of thinking about this is called the head, heart, hands model. You may have heard of this. Your head corresponds to what you know, what you think, what you believe. Your heart corresponds to your desires, what you care about. And your hands correspond to your actions, what you do. And God wants to change all of you. He wants to transform it all. So we see some examples of each of the head, heart, and hands in our verses. Verses 9 and 10 mention growing in knowledge and wisdom, which we've already seen. And Paul also prays for the growth of our hearts. That's at the end of verse 11. He mentions endurance, patience, and then immediately after, in verse 12, he mentions joy, joyfully giving thanks. Products of the heart. And then in verse 10, he mentions our actions, pleasing God in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. So spiritual growth is holistic. It affects the whole self, head, heart, and hands. The second observation is that spiritual growth is not just about me. Spiritual growth is interrelational, interpersonal. It involves our relationships with others. So we're growing in our own personal relationship with the Lord, but also with others. One of the traits that we saw last week of the Colossians, back in verse 4, was how much they loved one another. The relationships were going really well in their church. And almost everything we do somehow has an impact on other people anyway. It's pretty hard to avoid the things you do, the decisions you make. Our relationships are vital in our life. So God wants us to pray not only for ourselves, but also for others. Pray for our relationships with others, that we'd love people more, that we'd serve them. But also praying for their spiritual growth as well, their own growth. We can pray for the people in our church, that they'd be growing as well. So spiritual growth is not just about me. And then the third observation about spiritual growth is that it can be painful at times. Spiritual growth can be painful. And that's from verse 11. Now, Paul prays the Colossians would be strengthened with all power, according to God's glorious might, so they'd have endurance and patience. And we need endurance and patience. We need God's strength, because life does get difficult. Life can feel slow. Sometimes it's a grind. And becoming a Christian certainly doesn't mean all our problems will go away. Life's still hard. It can be so many things. You might be experiencing persecution because you're a Christian. People don't like what you do. They don't like what you believe. So they shun you. Or maybe they tell you straight to your face. Or perhaps you might be struggling with relationships inside the church. Christian and Christian. Struggling there. Or it could just be the suffering and pain that comes with life. Made redundant at work. Death in the family. Bad news about your health. If God wants us to grow spiritually into blooming plants, why does he allow it? Why does he let it be so difficult sometimes? Well, Jesus tells us why in John's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus describes himself as a vine or a tree, and where the branches that are attached to him. And he says that his good branches, his good disciples, will bear good fruit. They'll live lives that are pleasing to him. And that sounds great at first. And then the next thing Jesus says is that every branch which does bear fruit, God will prune so that it bears even more fruit. You see that, spiritual growth, bearing even more fruit. But in order to get that spiritual growth, we must be pruned. And pruning hurts. It's painful. So if you're a Christian, God will send trials your way. Seasons of difficulty. But it's because he's pruning you. He's pruning you to be more fruitful, to give you more growth. So when that happens, remember, God's pruning you, but he hasn't abandoned you. This is part of his plan. And he's always there. He's always there to give strength, which is why we pray for it. We pray for strength, for endurance and patience. God's given us his spirit. We have his glorious might, his power within us to sustain us. So spiritual growth, it's holistic, it's interrelational, and sometimes it's painful. But God wants to build us up in all of these ways so that we might grow into full spiritual beauty. There's so many ways for us to be growing, which means there's so many things we can be praying for. The third and final point from Paul is that God gives us wonderful comfort in our spiritual growth, which we need especially when it gets hard. So let's read verses 12 to 14. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You've been qualified to share in the inheritance of God's holy people, the heavenly inheritance, the future eternal hope. Your name is written in heaven. There's a seat up there reserved for you and only for you if you're trusting in Jesus. But you might find, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time, and that you might look back on recent weeks or even on recent years, and you might be feeling a bit ashamed of your spiritual journey. Perhaps you've had a period of spiritual dryness, of spiritual bad health. You haven't seen much growth in your life. You've been struggling. I haven't invested much time into my relationship with God. I don't really think I've been growing. Is God done with me? Is this it? I haven't pleased him enough. I haven't been pleasing him in every way. I will take heart. You have been qualified in the past. It's already been done. Signed, sealed, and delivered by God. No one can disqualify you now. No one is more powerful than God. You won't be disqualified. Satan can't take your seat out of heaven. He can't rub your name out of the book of life. He's no power. You're safe and secure, even in times of personal spiritual drought, even when you're not growing. If you haven't been growing, God has qualified you. You are secure. But at the same time, you must always remember that's not an excuse to live poorly. Oh, well, I've been saved. I'm secure, so I'll just do what I like. No, you're in the kingdom of light now. You don't belong to the domain of darkness. You don't belong to this world. You belong to heaven. That's where your citizenship lies. And with that comes a new nature, a transformed self, to become more like Jesus, more like God. That's who you are. But we don't need to despair when we fail. That is who we are, but we're still slowly growing, slowly being perfected. So when we fail, when we look back and we think, it doesn't look good for me, remember, God's mercies are new every morning. Every day is a fresh start. God always forgives. Today might be the day where you pray, Lord, help me to start following you again. Help me to start growing again. In closing, just looking back at verse 9. In verse 9, it says that it's God's will. The knowledge of his will bring us growth. That's God's will for you, that you'd be growing, that you'd be pleasing him. That's his will. That might be somewhat intimidating. This is God's big plan for my life, that I be pleasing him in every way. Well, I'm not pleasing him in every way. You know, am I stuffing this up? This is God's will. It's a big thing. Well, what we need to remember is that God's will was also, according to Isaiah 53, God's will was to crush his son for you. Because we couldn't live up to his will, because we don't please him in every way. God's will was to crush his son Jesus. And Jesus submitted to that will. Not mine, Father, but yours be done. He died so we can live. Verse 14, in him we have redemption. Not we'll get it in the future when we've grown enough. We have it. We already have the forgiveness of sins. If you're trusting in Jesus, even with the smallest faith, even with the smallest increments of growth, if you trust in Jesus, his blood has qualified you. You are safe and secure, and nothing can change that. But still, let us be praying. Let us pray for spiritual growth. Let us pray that as God's holy people, as heavenly citizens, we become more like Jesus. that we'd bloom like flowers into all spiritual beauty. Let's pray now. Our Lord God, we thank you that in your incredible mercy you crushed your only Son so that we'd be free from sin and judgment, and that we'd be free from the chains of this world and brought into your kingdom of light, your kingdom of love and peace. And thank you, Father, our salvation is completely secure. Nothing can take away our eternity with you. And we thank you we're qualified by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you want us to grow, to be more like him. We thank you for the privilege to grow spiritually and to please you in every way. So please help us, Lord, to do that. Help us to grow in our understanding of you. Fill us with the knowledge of your will. Help us to understand. Help us to be amazed at your love for us. Our Lord, we pray you'd change our whole lives. We pray you'd change our heads to grow, to know you more. We pray you'd change our hearts, that we would love you deeply, that we would have compassion and care for our brothers and sisters. And Lord, please change our actions. May we please you in every way. Father, please as well prepare us for the times of trial. Strengthen us with endurance and patience. And we pray, Lord, for your grace for anyone right now who is struggling with a season of pain. Please comfort them, give them your strength, and give them peace, because you are the God of peace. And Lord, we pray that we would grow to be more like you, full of peace, full of goodness and love. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.